Let me ask you then to secure a Bible and turn to Psalm 139. This morning, we are going to do a deep dive into Psalm 139. And I'm afraid that you're going to be lost if you're not there and looking on as we go through this lesson. The more that we understand the nature of God, the easier I believe it is to follow Him and to do His will. I believe that if I could get everybody here to just stop everything, and if you would think seriously about who God is, I mean who God really, really is, it would change all of us forever. This morning, I'm going to share with you three earth-shattering characteristics about God. And I believe there's no single passage in all of the Bible that brings out these three characteristics of God's nature better than Psalm 139. The three things that we're going to look at this morning about God are these three things. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent, and God is omnipotent. I want you to look at that. Three of the most important things that you and I will ever, ever come to know and to understand about just who God is that God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and God is omnipotent. Number one, we're going to look at these three things, and then we're going to make an observation. Number one, in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, David, the writer of this psalm, says that God is omniscient. That is to say that God knows everything. God knows everything. Look at Psalm 139, beginning with the first word in the first verse. This is from the New International Version. David said, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me," verse 6. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too lofty for me to attain." God is omniscient. Listen, God knows everything. Look in verse 1. In the first part of verse 1, David says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me." Now, to search something is to investigate it. To search something is to look into the details of it. So David says, you know what? God has investigated me. God has looked into the details of me. In verse 1, the Hebrew word for searched means to pierce or to bore. It's as if we would bore a hole in this floor so that we would know everything that is under that floor. God has investigated me. God has looked into the details of me. As it is, God has bored a hole through me so that he may know absolutely everything about me. So much so, look at the end of verse 1. David says, "You have so searched me." David says, "God, you know me." Now watch how this bears out. David says, "You know me." Then beginning in verse 2, David gives to us four examples that sets forth the omniscience of God. That is, David is now going to give us four examples in order to set forth the fact that God knows everything. First of all, at the beginning of verse 2, David says, "God knows my moves." Look at the beginning of verse 2. "You know when I sit and when I rise. Every move that I make, God knows." Look at the end of verse 2. Secondly, David said, not only does God know my moves, but God knows my mind. Look at the end of verse 2. "You are familiar," or verse 2, "you perceive my thoughts from afar." Brethren, God knows every thought that passes through my mind. God knows my every move. God knows my every thought. Number 3, in verse 3, David says that God knows my motives. Look at verse 3. "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Brethren, God knows every path that I walk. But God further knows the motive for every path that I walk. Fourth, as David sets forth God's omniscience, he's proving here God knows everything. The fourth thing is that David says, "God knows my mouth." Look at verse 4. "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Before a word escapes between my teeth, God knows what that word will be. Now, brethren, listen. Listen, God is omniscient. God knows every move I make. God knows every thought that I have. God knows every motive for which I do everything that I do. God knows my every word. Listen, God knows your name. God knows your address. God knows your social security number. God knows your passwords. God knows where you've been. God knows why you've been there. God knows where you're going. God knows why you're going there. God knows what you've watched. God knows what you've listened to. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything. Now, for a moment, just let that soak in. Every move, every thought, every motive, every word, let that stew for a minute. David then concludes this. Look at verse 6. David then concludes it by saying, Lord, your knowledge is too wonderful for me. And in other words, you and I, it is beyond our comprehension to grasp the knowledge of God. God is omniscient. Number two, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. God is omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere. Everywhere. Look at verse 7. David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David is asking, listen, where can I ever go to get away from the presence of God? Verse 8. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, that is, in the grave, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God is omnipresent. Brethren, God is everywhere. Now watch how David develops this. David now gives us three illustrations that set forth God's omnipresence, that sets forth the fact that God is everywhere. David's first illustration is death. It's death. Look at verse 8. If I go into heaven, you are there. So if I die and if I go to heaven, obviously God is going to be in heaven. Heaven is his dwelling place. But David said, if I die and if I go to the depths, your translation may say the grave, your translation may say Sheol, your translation may even say hell. He's talking about Sheol, the Hebrew word. He's talking about the grave, but it means more than the grave. He's talking about the place where disembodied spirits go. The point that David is making there at the end of verse 8, in verse 8, David is saying, listen, even in our death, we don't escape the presence of God. Do you hear what I said? Even when we die, we can't get away from God. So he talks about God being everywhere. He says in death. Then he talks about distance in verse 9 and 10. David said, listen, if I go to the other side of the sea, you're there. Listen, David is saying, look, if I go to the furthest point of the universe, wherever that is, when I get to the furthest point of the universe and when I stop, God is going to be standing there waiting for me. You can't get away from God. You can't run far enough to get away from the presence of God. Remember the Old Testament prophet Jonah? Jonah tried to hide from God. God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. Those people were not good people. God said, Jonah, you go there. Jonah, you know what? I don't think I'm going there. So instead, Jonah went to Tarshish and got on a ship and headed in the opposite direction. But when the ship got out there in the sea, there was a storm. And the crew on the ship decided, Jonah, you're the reason for this storm. And they threw him off that boat. When Jonah was thrown off that boat, Jonah learned a very important lesson. And the lesson that Jonah learned is that God is everywhere. God was in the waves of that sea. God was in the belly of that fish. And Jonah did everything he could to escape the presence of the Lord, but he couldn't. And there's nowhere that we can run or hide to escape the presence of God. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. When you die, you won't get rid of him. In distance, you can't get rid of him. David's third illustration is darkness. David says here in verse 11 and 12, David says that darkness is light to God. Midnight to God is noontime. And the darkest moment of the night in the eyes of God is broad daylight. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Now, again, listen, I'm serious. Just stop for a minute. Just for a minute, stop and think about the omnipresent presence of God, that God is everywhere and there's nowhere I can go to get away from him. Let that soak a minute. God is omniscient. He knows it all. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Number three, in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 17, God is omnipotent. That is to say that God is all powerful. I want you to look at Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. Here is an amazing passage. David said, "For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Verse 15. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." The secret place, the depths of the earth, is our mother's womb. He says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, God saw me." Not only so, but all of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. My unformed body, God said, I wrote your name in the book. That is the book of life. Before I was formed, I was a living soul in the eyes of God. I heard somebody say once that if a mother's womb had windows, if a womb had windows, abortions would cease. Amen. Amen. Understand what David is talking about here. David is talking about the power of God. That's the subject. The power, God's omnipotence. Now, the power of God is best seen in creation. And even more specific, the power of God is best seen in how God goes about bringing life into the world. Brother, listen. When David wrote that, David didn't know anything about the human cell structure of the body. He couldn't have. When David wrote that, David had no clue that within each of us there are billions and billions and tens of billions of these tiny cells that must all work together and in conjunction with all the other ones for us to have life and sustain life upon this earth. David had no clue about that. David had no idea that every single day millions and millions of these cells would die only to replace themselves. When David writes this, all David is thinking about is that David is in awe of how God brings life into the world. The power of God. The power of God. Now, brethren, listen. I just don't know how else to tell you this. God is omniscient. He knows everything. My every move, my every thought, my every motive, my every word. He knows everything. God is omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere. I can't get away from God. When I die, I can't get away from God. And God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Now stop and think about that.
Here's what's amazing, and it's beyond any of us to get this. We left home this morning. We walked into this building to worship a God who is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. You can't fathom that. That we came to this place to worship a God who knows everything, who is everywhere, and who is all powerful. Brethren, listen, listen. The power of God is most clearly seen in creation. All of these billions of cells within each of us that all must work together. Listen to me. We're about to make a turn. The more you know about the nature of God, the easier it will be for you to follow him and to do his will. Listen. What you need to know about God, what you need to know about him, is that he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, and that he is omnipotent. You need to understand that, you need to believe that, and you need to know that. And if you will come to grips, now listen to me, if you will come to grips with just exactly who God really is, there are two things that this will help you with. Very quickly, there are two things that understanding the nature of God will help you with. Number one, Christian living becomes easier. Christian living becomes easier. Do you know why Christians aren't faithful? Do you know why Christians have so much trouble in their Christian life? Listen to me. Here's the answer. The reason that Christianity is so difficult for so many people is that they don't believe the God of the Bible. That's it. They believe in a God, but not the God. They believe in a God that they've concocted in their own mind. A God who will tolerate this from me, and a God who will let me do this, and a God who will look the other way if I do that. And so we make up this God who will agree with everything that I want to do that I shouldn't be doing. And we don't believe in a Bible. We don't believe in the God of the Bible who knows everything, is everywhere, and can see everything. Listen, it's always easier to do right when you know somebody's watching you. Amen. Teenagers go on an outing. This can happen at church, this can happen in school, wherever it is. The teens are going on an outing. On that outing, there is always, always a few people who are known as chaperones. A chaperone has one job. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. And every young person who's on this field trip knows why that chaperone is there. To keep their eyes open. A guy told me this week his wife was a school teacher for like 35 years. He said, I went to chaperone once an event at the school. This was in Fraser, Michigan. He said, I went to chaperone it, and he said two teenagers turned up missing. He said, I found them in the stairwell. He said, they weren't having a Bible study. That's the chaperone's job. Keep your eyes open. Listen, the speed limit isn't a problem when you look in the rearview mirror and a policeman's behind you. It's no problem at all. When this service is dismissed, and those of us who truly know God and love God head north, when we head up Grossbeck, some of y'all are wild going up Grossbeck, but anyway, if there is a policeman on Grossbeck, speed limit ain't a problem. It's not a problem. It's like 45 miles an hour till you get to like 14 miles or something, and then it turns into 50 miles an hour. Look, everybody going up Grossbeck knows that. Christian, listen. When you understand the nature of God, Christian living becomes easier. God knows everything, God sees everything, and God is all powerful. Now, that nature is either a very positive thing or a very negative thing in your life, depending on how you live. If you live right, it is a great thing to understand that God is aware of you and that God is watching your life. But if you're not living right, it is a horrible thing to understand that God is watching. Listen. We can put on a face for others, but you can't put on a face for God. You can phony front play Christian with the brethren. You can't phony front play Christian with God. Because God knows. Christian living becomes easier when I understand the nature of God. Very quickly, the second observation. When you get to where, okay, this is God and I know him. Watch this. Troubles become less burdensome. God's got this. Troubles become less burdensome. Why? Because I know God. Now let me tell you something about Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a positive text. It's not a negative text. David doesn't intend for that to be negative. He intends for it to be positive. And what David is setting forth in Psalm 139 is that David is absolutely amazed that God could be who he is and then even bother to know him. You understand what I just said? David is just awestruck that God can be who God is, and then God would bother to even know all about me. Listen, if you honestly believe that God knows everything, that God is everywhere, and that God is all powerful. If you honestly believe that, then you have to believe that God can work things out in your life. You have to believe that. You have to believe that. And in a crowd of this number, this size, every single year that passes, listen, there are going to be some of us this year who are going to suffer through trials. We're going to suffer through discouragement. We're going to go through heartbreak. We're going to go through the loss of loved ones. We're going to run the gamut. We're just simply going to run the gamut. But when that happens to you, and when life grabs you by the throat, just remember, listen, my God knows, my God understands, and my God can do something about it, and my God cares. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. We know that all things work together for those who love the Lord and those who call according to his promise. That verse doesn't mean nothing bad's never going to happen to you. We're too old to be told that. What that verse says is that whatever happens to you and whoever puts that on you, God will work in that situation through his providence and bring it out for your best interest. You say, well, how do you know that? I know that because my God knows everything, is everywhere, and is all powerful. That's how I know that. Get to really know God. Get to know God. 30 seconds. Don't time me. In Matthew 25, Jesus opens up the judgment scene. He said, when the Son of Man, that was the title he gave himself, comes from Daniel. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, the angels will come with him. He will separate left and right, sheep and goats. To those who are saved, listen to what he said. To those who are saved, he says, I was in prison and you came to see me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was sick and you came to see me. And Jesus said, because you did that, you are going to be saved. Here's the point I'm making. Here's the point I'm making. On the day of judgment, the one thing among many other things is that's going to be the day when those who work behind the scenes are pulled to the front. Those who have led very quiet Christian lives and who have just gone about day by day helping other people, that's the day that they're going to be recognized. Because God knows. God knows. And God will take those humble, behind-the-scenes Christians and will bring them forth and say, look, here's what they've done. Because he knows. This morning, if you're here, listen, if you're not a Christian, God knows you're not. God knows you're not. Well, here's my plan. That plan's going to fail. You're going to lose. God is everywhere. God knows. And God is on your team. Don't leave here without him. Don't leave here without him. It's the nature of God. It's coming to know God. If you need to respond, do it right now as together we stand.